Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí fear number plates being stolen in Donegal may be used in serious crimes. Two men have been arrested in Dublin in connection with a number of criminal damage incidents and a car hijacking in Bridgend on Sunday. The Bishop of Raphoe believes a child and adolescent counselling service operated from the Raphoe Diocesan Centre has grown to such an extent that an expansion is needed. And Transport Infrastructure Ireland has confirmed that works are to be carried out on pedestrian crossings in the Twin Towns. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin. First in news though, two men have been arrested in Dublin in connection with a number of criminal damage incidents and a car hijacking in Bridgend on Sunday. The two men, aged in their 20s, are currently being detained at a Garda station in Dublin. The stolen vehicle has since been recovered. Garda Gráinne Doherty is continuing to appeal for information.
Yes, so Gardaí are investigating a number of incidents of criminal damage and an incident of the hijacking of a car. This car was a grey Seat Altea, Northern Irish registration. It's a 2012 model. This occurred in Bridgend Village on Sunday the 14th of January, and these incidents occurred in and around 8:30 p.m. So investigating Gardaí are appealing for any witnesses to these incidents to come forward. They're particularly appealing to anybody who was in that area with a dash cam from the Bridgend area between 8:15 p.m. and 8:45 p.m. to make contact. So it will be within Bridgend itself, within the main thoroughfare of the village itself. Anyone with any information is asked to contact Burnfoot, Garda Station on 074 936 8194. The Garda Confidential line, as always, in relation to any of our appeals, can be contacted on 1800 666 111 or, of course, any Garda Station you wish to call in.
Meanwhile, Gardaí fear number plates being stolen in Donegal may be used in serious crimes. Once again, a set of registration plates have been stolen from a vehicle parked in the Inishowen area. This time, a car parked at a house in the Springfield Estate area of Muff was targeted between 4 p.m. on Friday afternoon last and midday on Saturday. Garda Doherty is urging anyone who falls victim to the crime to report it to Gardaí.
If anybody observed any suspicious activity in and around Springfield Estate in Muff between those dates, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 074 932 0540. And should anybody have this happen, you know, should somebody go out and even their front or rear registration plate is stolen from their car, we would ask them and advise them to contact Gardaí and make us aware of it, just in case those plates were to be used again in a serious incident. Somebody may think it's not really relevant. I don't want to be wasting the guard's time. It's most certainly not a waste of our time, and we do want to hear about it. Most especially, as you said, if your front plate was missing, you would think maybe it hit a bump and the plate fell off. But the fact that both plates were stolen, there's a more sinister element. Yes.
The Bishop of Raphoe believes that child and adolescent counselling service operated from the Raphoe Diocesan Centre has grown to such an extent that an expansion is needed. It was confirmed yesterday that the service will be wound down from March due to a lack of public funding for a full-time director of counselling. The present director, Liam Cannon, who operates on a part-time basis, will step down in March, and if money is not secured to employ a full-time replacement, the service will cease to operate. Bishop Al McGuckian told today's 9 till noon show that it would be a tragedy if funding was not found. He believes the counselling service should be operated independently from the diocese.
We have been recognising for a number of years that the whole thing needs to be on a more firm basis. Remember, even now, much of the important background work is done by very generous, voluntary people. Individuals, and one in particular who comes in and works voluntarily. People on CE schemes who are doing a fantastic job. Diocesan staff who, on top of other things, are chipping in to whether it's answer the phone or just do all of the things that are necessary to keep this very big service going. And we recognised a couple of years ago, this is not a foundation for the long term. And consequently, we encouraged Liam and others to look about establishing an entity that would carry this on a really professional basis that could be independent from the diocese. They were gathered and we met with them from time to time. Very, very gifted people in the field aimed at putting a really firm basis under this here called Tyrconnell Counselling and Psychotherapy Services. And they hit the brick wall some months ago.
A letter has been sent to the Education Minister highlighting concerns over the ongoing delays in the construction of a new building for St Junan's College in Letterkenny. The letter signed by the school's head boy on behalf of St Junan's College Student Council highlights the inadequate facilities of the current school building. The letter to Minister Norma Foley sent to local public representatives also says continuous efforts towards academic success, physical and mental well-being are not being fully recognised due to the school's geographical location. The letter concludes by claiming St Junan's College is consistently marginalised by the department. They have invited Minister Foley to visit the school. The Israeli ambassador to Ireland says it's too early to talk about peace talks with Palestine. The UN General Secretary has renewed his appeal for a ceasefire to allow more aid into Gaza and to allow for the release of Israeli hostages being held by Hamas. It's estimated 24,000 Palestinians have died since the conflict between Israel and Hamas reignited last October. Israeli ambassador to Ireland, Dana Ehrlich, says her country remains open to peace negotiations around a two-state solution.
I think it's too soon to talk about that. When we still have those kidnapped in Gaza, when they're still rockets being launched at Israel every day, when the Hamas leaders say that given the opportunity, they will carry it again and again. But what we have shown in the past, that when there is an opportunity, then we will seriously negotiate.
Gardaí are appealing for information after a motorist fled across the border following a hit and run in St Johnston on Saturday evening last. A blue BMW with a partial registration of RNZ was travelling from the Lifford area towards St Johnston when it struck a car travelling in the opposite direction at around 8:45pm. The driver of the BMW failed to remain at the scene and is believed to have crossed the border into Northern Ireland. Witnesses are anyone who has a dash cam and was on the route between 8:15 and 9:15pm on Saturday is asked to contact Gardaí. Meanwhile, Gardaí have reissued an appeal for information in connection with a crash involving a pedestrian last month in the Buncrana area. Between 4:30 and 5pm on Monday, December the 18th, a dark-coloured saloon car, possibly an Audi, is reported to have hit the young female in the Ardraven area. She sustained non-life-threatening injuries. It's believed the motorist may have stopped at the scene for a short time but then left. Gardaí are appealing directly to the driver to contact them. The Banking and Insurance Redress Focus Group says it is eagerly awaiting the next meeting of the subgroup set up by the Department of Housing to discuss the need for homes remediated and rebuilt under the defective block scheme to be fully mortgageable and insurable. Minister Charlie McConnoke has said that government will be insisting on cast iron guarantees from banks and insurance companies. However, the focus group says such guarantees will only be given if the work is certified by a registered engineer, and Engineers Ireland are considering that ahead of the next meeting in February. They also say it's not a matter for political demands. Focus group member Seamus Devaney says if engineers don't sign off on the work, then the government will have to revisit the scheme, and with foundations not being replaced, he believes that's very likely.
Engineers Ireland effectively have gone away for 4 weeks now to hopefully come back to us with a definitive, clarified position on this issue. And that then that we can take to the banks and say, does this make these homes mortgageable or not? I don't want to jump ahead of that and say that, of course, it doesn't make them mortgageable because they still contain deleterious materials. And that would include a risk that the banks have no appetite for. Banks don't loan on uncalculated risk.
Presumably then that would give, if that were to happen, that gives you the opportunity to go back to government and say to government, you have said this scheme is working. It patently, according to the engineers, is not.
I think you have that in a nutshell. Hopefully, when the engineers come and clarify their position, Engineers Ireland, in February, and we have the sit-down meeting, then I think the government has no choice but to overhaul nuts and bolts of the scheme and fix houses. Like, think about all of the houses that have been remediated already while keeping their foundations, and their mortgage that they have out perhaps now, they potentially have out now, is in technical default, even though they fixed their houses through the scheme. And their insurance is also in default because it's a house of non-standard construction. They need to look into how that would apply to a house containing deleterious materials. And I urge everybody out there with a DCB home to check with your insurance provider and make sure that you're still covered.
Hopes are fading of a last-minute intervention to put a stop to a massive public sector strike due to get underway in the north on Thursday. The Secretary of State is facing calls from storming parties, trade unions and now the head of the civil service to release money being withheld by the British government to help settle pay disputes. The government says it will hand the cash over when the DUP ends its boycott and Stormont returns. Peter Macklin is a regional organiser for the GMB union.
After Thursday, the unions will get together and we'll reassess the situation and see where we go with it. But hopefully that this week will bring some kind of a resolution.
Transport Infrastructure Ireland has confirmed that works are to be carried out on pedestrian crossings in the Twin Towns. Serious safety concerns have been raised over the crossings with a number of near misses reported. The crossings were established as part of a pilot scheme in Ballybuffet and Stranorler. Initial works include installing lighting and signage at the crossings. Councillor Patrick McGuigan says a public consultation is part of planned long-term works.
There was a new pilot scheme involved in Ballybuffet and Stranorler over a year and a half ago, and basically that's where there was new crossings erected, but there was no signage, no flashing lights, and apparently these are called courtesy crossings. There's been quite a bit of complaints and various people saying traffic are not stopping. So now we have a two-phased solution being proposed. This is obviously coming from the TIA, not the kind of council. So first of all, the intent is to put up signage, and they're also going to highlight the lines on the road. Next, what they're going to do, they're going to go out to public consultation. They're talking about moving the one at the Bank of Ireland, which a lot of people do agree with. And then what they're going to do then is raise, you know, where the people cross the road, they're actually going to raise them as wee platforms to obviously slow down the traffic, but to let vehicles, they'll be fully aware then because they'll see that they're raised, so the new signage, and also then they're going to look at the lighting. There's also been for years complaints about the fence door, the lighting's not good at night, but phase one is going to be put up signage and just to highlight the crossings a bit better. But before they go to phase two, there will be public consultation. One downside, particularly for businesses, they may lose some parking beside some of the crossings where they might meet the standard. It will go out to business and the public to have a submission on it. And as I say, part of that is moving the Bank of Ireland. It's welcome improvements now and it will help people in the town cross the roads.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where the big winter sale is now on. Get 30% of all the official Donegal GAA Peak range. Also great savings on runners and leisure wear, in store and online.
It's 5:15 and time now for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games and the 1982 All-Ireland Under-21 winning manager Tom Conaghan will be inducted into the Donegal Sports Star Hall of Fame. That's when the awards take place in the Mount Errigal Hotel on Friday week, the 26th of January. The 78-year-old will be the 48th inductee. The Donegal Town native managed the county to their first ever All-Ireland Adult GAA title in 1982. And in the same year, he guided four Masters to their first ever County Senior Football Championship title. Members of Conaghan's 1982 team were to form the backbone of the side that won the historic All-Ireland Senior Football Championship title in 1992. In other news, Dean Rock has announced his retirement from inter-county football. The Dublin forward won 8 All-Ireland senior football titles, kicking the final point in last year's decider against Kerry. He also won the 2017 final against Mayo with a late free. From the Ballymun Kickhams Club in the capital, 33-year-old Rock is a three-time All-Star. He also won 12 Leinster titles, 6 National Leagues and an All-Ireland under-21 crown. In the Sigerson Cup, there's a few games down for decision today. The early game, St Mary's University against TU Dublin, was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. At 7 o'clock, Queen's University Belfast, they play TUS Midlands. At 7:30, University College Dublin play Ulster University. And at 8 o'clock, Maynooth University play University of Limerick. In soccer, Jose Mourinho has been sacked as manager of Roma. The Portuguese joined the Italian club in 2021 and won the Conference League in his first season. Roma are currently ninth in Serie A after losing seven times in 20 games in the current campaign. 60-year-old Mourinho has been in charge of 9 clubs in his career, winning 21 major trophies. Premier League Chief Executive Richard Masters says a date has been set for Manchester City to face the 115 charges of financial rule breaches. It's almost 12 months since City's alleged breaches were referred to an independent commission. The swift manner of the cases involving Everton and Nottingham Forest has led to questions regarding the duration of the City case. Masters told a Commons Select Committee that City's date in court is coming. He just can't say when that is. On the pitch tonight, Manchester United, they'll discover their FA Cup fourth round opponents. Non-league club Eastleigh take on League 2 Newport County in one of five replays down for decision. Elsewhere, West Ham, they go to Bristol City. Luton make the trip to Bolton. Wolves face Brentford and Birmingham, they entertain Hull. In the Irish League, there's the semi-finals of the Irish League Cup are on this evening. Glenavon, they play Portadown, and Dungannon and Swifts, they host Linfield. Both those games kick off at 7.45. In hockey, the Irish women's team face South Korea in an Olympic qualifier in Spain this evening. A draw will be enough for a place in the semi-finals. And in rugby, the first ever women's British and Irish Lions tour will take place in New Zealand in September of 2027. The tour will feature three test matches against the Black Ferns. The tour will not clash with the 2027 Men's Rugby World Cup, which is slated to start in Australia in October of that year. Elsewhere in rugby, Rob Herring's Six Nations involvement is in jeopardy. Ulster say the hooker will see a specialist this week, having sustained a significant elbow injury in training last week. Meanwhile, Sean Riffle and Dave Ewers are both ruled out of Ulster's Investec Champions Cup game away to Harlequins. And Munster lock Evan O'Connell has been named captain of the Irish under-20s ahead of their Six Nations campaign. Head coach Richie Murphy has been able to retain five members of last year's Grand Slam winning squad. Finally, for this evening in tennis, it was a plain sailing for the top names in the Australian Open today. Men's second seed Carlos Alcaraz beat experienced Richard Gasquet in straight sets. He'll play Lorenzo Sonego in round two. Sixth seed Alexander Zverev and eighth seed Holger Rune both needed four sets to win their respective first round matches. And women's top seed Iga Świątek beat 2020 champion Sofia Kenin in straight sets. And there was also wins for third seed Elena Rybakina, Jessica Pegula and Emma Raducanu. That's your sport. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, communities with the highest proportion of asylum seekers are to get a special support package. The move comes after scuffles broke out between Gardaí and some protesters yesterday as 17 women and children arrived at Rocket Hall Hotel in Rosscrae. The Taoiseach, Leo Radker, says he understands people in the town are concerned and acknowledged that only a small number of people were involved in the scuffle.
I understand that hundreds of people have been accommodated in Rosscrae in the last couple of years, both from Ukraine and people seeking international protection, and that has put the town under pressure. And one of the things we're going to be doing at Cabinet today is asking all ministers to come together to take the 10 districts in the country that have the highest proportion of people from Ukraine and people seeking international protection, and to put together a special package to help those areas that are under pressure.
Donegal County Council plans to spend €670,000 on the provision of a new public burial ground over the next 3 years. At present, the council says its Roads and Transportation Directorate oversees a limited maintenance programme of a number of historic burial grounds in Donegal, while other burial grounds are largely controlled by various churches. However, after a survey of graveyard provision and capacity in 2020, the council is actively considering the provision of a new burial ground. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Since the 2020 survey, the council says it's been working with a number of stakeholders, including the Interchurch Group on Community Graveyard Provision in Donegal, the Black and Ethnic Minority Group, the Intercultural Platform and other non-denominational groups. The initial focus will be on areas of greatest need, particularly the Greater Letterkenny area, which has the largest population and the greatest cultural diversity. This approach can then be considered as a potential model for the rest of the county. The council is considering a number of potential sites in the Greater Letterkenny area, with site assessment criteria being developed. The capital budget agreed at the end of last year sets aside €670,000 for a burial grounds capital programme in Donegal, with €170,000 being spent this year and €250,000 in both 2025 and 2026. This will cover scoping, preliminary design, public consultation, environmental assessment and planning, land acquisition and construction.
Students competing with families for houses needs to stop. That's the message from the Higher Education Minister as the government commits to investing more in on-campus accommodation. Colleges that receive government support for accommodation must put it towards beds for disadvantaged students under market value. Minister Simon Harris outlines his ambition.
What I want to do, though, in relation to student accommodation is get to a point where students are not competing with families looking to rent accommodation. And this is the big change we need to make. Up until now, the state has been far too reliant on students or their parents going out and finding accommodation. And sometimes students or a number of students nearly competing with the family.
A researcher at ATU Sligo campus is working on a project which would see 3D printers used to produce pills tailored to suit the needs of individual people. This could create a situation where someone who requires multiple drugs every day can have them all included in one single tablet, which is personalised to them. Dr. Marion McAfee says the technology to do this already exists, and under the Proceed 3D programme, jointly led by herself and colleagues from University of Limerick, say they're working on how to safely introduce that technology in a safe and workable way to hospitals and pharmacies. Dr. McAfee envisages this becoming the norm in years to come.
It's a big shift in medicine, and it's a way that medicine is already beginning to move, you know, to become more personalised, that a prescription is tailored to individual need rather than having, you know, kind of a one-size-fits-all dosage. We know that, you know, medicines have a very different impact on each individual, you know, depending on, you know, their body mass and their gender and their environment and lots of other factors. So, you know, medicine is already starting to move in that direction. Already we have, you know, the 3D printing technology that can achieve this. So the big barrier is really about ensuring the safety of producing these things. So, for example, if you go into your local pharmacy in Ardragh and have this pill that's printed for you, you want to be absolutely sure that what is in that pill is, you know, exactly what you're supposed to be getting in the right amount, and that there's no damage caused to the drug or anything like that during the 3D printing process. And actually, this is what the Proceed project that we're funded by Science Foundation Ireland to look at. That's what it's really addressing, to monitor the quality and make sure that these medicines are safe.
Could we potentially see a pilot rollout of this system across the Northwest? You're based in Sligo. Your research colleagues are based in UL in Limerick. Is it conceivable that we may see this rolled out in places like Sligo, Donegal, Galway, Mayo, etc., and have some pilot projects run in our local hospitals and our local pharmacies?
Yeah, that's absolutely the aim. I mean, this is an Irish-funded project by Irish researchers and working with Irish industries. You know, we have a great pharmaceutical and medical device industry on the west of Ireland. So that's absolutely the target.
Weather now mainly cloudy with outbreaks of rain and sleet with snow on hills. Highest temperatures today of 4 to 6 degrees. Another status yellow low temperature ice warning for the entire country is coming into force at now at 6 o'clock. Met Éireann is warning of difficult travelling conditions due to severe frost and icy stretches. The alert will remain in place until 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. The closing headlines this evening. Two men have been arrested in Dublin in connection with a number of criminal damage incidents and a car hijacking in Bridgend on Sunday. The two men, aged in their 20s, are currently being detained at a Garda station in Dublin. Meanwhile, Gardaí fear number plates being stolen in Donegal may be used in serious crimes. Once again, a set of registration plates have been stolen from a vehicle parked in the Inishowen area. The Bishop of Raphoe believes the Child and Adolescent Counselling Service, operated from the Raphoe Diocesan Centre, has grown to such an extent that an expansion is needed. It was confirmed yesterday that the service will be wound down from March due to a lack of public funding for a full-time Director of Counselling. And Transport Infrastructure Ireland has confirmed that works are to be carried out on pedestrian crossings in the Twin Towns. Serious safety concerns have been raised over the crossings, with a number of near misses reported. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, January the 16th. The death has taken place of John Sandilands the Lag Milford. Remains will repose at his home this evening from 6:30. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in St Peter's Church, Milford, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family time from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. And the death has taken place of Eilish McAteer, Ormond Road, Rathmines and formerly Green and Park, Buncrana. Requiem Mass will be held for Eilish in St Mary's Church, Coghill, Buncrana on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only please. Donations in lieu if desired to Buncrana Parish, care of any family member or McAteer funeral directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.